trust you, Lord. We trust you, Lord. Everything that we have, everything that we are, Lord, we put it into your service. Oh, we thank you, Lord, that you show yourself faithful to us. You show yourself strong on our behalf. Oh, we give you praise tonight. Just raise your hands for just a moment and just give him praise for all he's done for you. Has God been good to you? Oh, Lord, we sought you and you heard and you answered our prayers. Whoa, so we trust in you. We praise you, Lord. We praise you, Lord. Oh, thank you, Lord. Father God, as we study your word this evening, we thank you, Lord, for the Holy Spirit, the guide on the inside, Lord, to teach us, illuminate the scriptures to us. We thank you for revelation knowledge of your word, that we would have eyes to see and ears to hear, Lord, that our hearts would be open and receptive. Lord, I yield myself to you tonight. Give glory to yourself in this congregation. Give glory to yourself in our lives, Lord. Help us, Lord, to be raised up to the level that you've destined us to be. Lord, that we've been seated in heavenly places, far above. Thank you for that reminder tonight. Pray these things in Jesus' name. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Well, why don't you find someone, smile at them real big, and you can be seated. Praise God. You know, I have a pretty vivid imagination. There are times where I'm down there and I'm like, I can just see myself. I'm right there, maybe next to Miss Joe, and she's looking at me and she's like, hit it. You know, she's ready for me to... Okay, no, sorry. Don't they do such a great job? Much better without me up there. We're so thankful for them. And let me say this. I know you've heard it a couple of times already, but for all of the people who served, when we had all of our guests here and you were so faithful to just be a part of the services, not just being a consumer, but being an active participant in the service, how much that means for a congregation. I've been in ministry and pastoring churches before we came here for a number of years. I know you're thinking, wow, but you look so young. And I thank you for thinking that. But I've been in congregations where there were less people getting involved than the people that are getting involved at Rainbow Bible Church. You know, a few weeks back, Pastor Bill had mentioned it, and then I said something about a family that's part of our e-church that if you're watching online, guys, we're glad you're watching with us. But the e-church people, these guys were in Switzerland, and they were in between churches, and we have spoken to them a couple of times, and they're looking for a church where they're at, but they're attending with us because they felt like they were part of the family. And the husband... it's a husband and a wife, and they have children as well. But the husband was able to be here for camp meeting, and he said to me, we had an opportunity to talk a couple of times, and he said, you know, it's been many years since I've been back, and he said, I came in this building, and he said, the people treated me so kind, and he said, I just felt like I was with family. Glory to God. Isn't that what we want? And that's what Pastor's book about being, you know, connecting. All right, thank God for our pastors. Amen. We got to share them with the world, but we are so honored to do it. But they're teaching us to be connected because we're a family. Amen. So I'm so grateful for all of you. Praise the Lord. I'm glad you came here tonight. It's so much better than speaking to empty seats, but I'd do that too. Praise the Lord. You know, the last time that I spoke, we've been talking about a series that I'm calling Years, Tears, and Fears. It's a title that I felt like the Lord placed on my heart about three obstacles to living by faith. They are years, tears, and fears. And so we're going to try to finish that up this evening, if you'll believe God with me. Believe that we'll get through it. Our scripture text comes from Mark 11, verses 22 through 24. And we've been talking about these obstacles by to living by faith. If you haven't, I promise I'll give you a little bit of background. We'll catch you up. But that's the good thing about living in the day and age that we live in. If you don't catch a service, or if you wanted to go back and hear something, you always can. You can go into the app and all of the messages from service are available there. They're always on Facebook and stuff. So you could catch up that way. But these things, I believe, are vital for us to, you know, how many of you know this? If you've been living by faith for a while, there are challenges to our faith. Anybody else? Can I get a witness right there? All right. Glory to God. Yeah, there are challenges. And those are not the things that we're excited about. You know, the scripture says, in this world, you will have trouble, Jesus said. And nobody puts that on their refrigerator on a magnet. Right? You know, there's a lot of scriptures we put on a refrigerator. That just isn't one of them. It doesn't make the cut. But it's reality that we will have trouble in our faith walk. There will be difficulties. Why? Because though I'm for you, though your seat neighbor is for you, the devil is not for you. And we live in a fallen world and there are difficulties that come up in our lives, right? And, you know, growing up, in the Pentecostal church that I grew up in, and then it started out, it was a Pentecostal church. Later, the message of faith came to our community, and they changed the name of the church, changed the teaching. But some of the things that I think that I never picked up on, they never talked about, were the difficulties that we were going to face. And so then, there were times where I just thought I was a faith failure. Because I would hear somebody talking about faith and it was like they never had any problems. But there's one sure way to never have any problems again, but you'd be dead. I mean, if you're born again, that's really not a problem. But I mean, you wouldn't have any more problems in this world, but we're going to have difficulties as long as we're here, right? Because we're going to have an adversary. But there are some things that we can do to overcome those things. And so let's read our scripture, and then we're going to talk about these. We'll talk about the first two real quick, and we'll get to fear. We're going to talk about that this evening. Mark 11, beginning with verse 22, says, Jesus answered and said to them, have faith in God. That's a good idea. For assuredly I say to you, whoever says to this mountain, be removed and be cast into the sea, and does not doubt in his heart, but believes those things which he saith, they'll come to pass, he'll have whatsoever he saith. Therefore I say unto you, whatsoever things you desire when you pray, believe that you receive them, and you shall have them. Amen? And there's a lot of emphasis there. We're focusing on this in-between time. And what I said to you the last time we talked is, between the believing and the receiving, there's this in-between time. And that's the area where we find that there's difficulties. Because I know, as the song says, God is God and God don't ever change. Right? He's the Lord and he changes not. God is always going to be the same, yesterday, today, and forever. And he said that we could receive some things. Receiving is always an option. But the in-between time, there are things that will come up as obstacles or hurdles that will try to come up to keep us from receiving the things that God has for us. But I believe in this believing that we receive, that centerpiece is where the devil works the hardest. And I think that's why there's such an emphasis in this scripture on saying. Because this in-between time, this scripture has a whole lot more saying in it than believing. It says we believe and we say. Isn't that right? And whoever says to this mountain. Well, this area of saying, the circumstances that the enemy brings, he tries to get a hold of our words to misalign them, and we're no longer saying the things that God says about us. And the things that he uses to do that, they're the things that we've been talking about, the years, tears, and fears. There are some things that you and I just ought not say because it'll cost us. Isn't that right? Some things that we open our mouth and say can sometimes cost us. I was thinking about that today, and I was thinking about a lady and her husband that went to the county fair. We're from the country, so we didn't have like a Six Flags or nothing like that. You only had the county fair when it came. And these country folks, they went to the county fair, and that was where they were going to spend a little bit of their money. And so this guy was there with his wife, and he said to her, they were doing helicopter rides. And he said, I sure would like to go on one of them helicopter rides. And she said, we're not spending that kind of money. They didn't have helicopter riding kind of money. You know, She said, I bought you a funnel cake. He said, well, my birthday's coming up. She said, I got you the armband. I got you a funnel cake. We're not spending no $50 to ride in a helicopter. And he said, well, I really want to ride in a helicopter. And he just kept, and she kept telling him, no, no, no. Well, the guy who was doing the helicopter rides, he heard all of this and he thought, man, she is really giving him down the road about that helicopter ride, $50. He said, ma'am, he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He was going to try to help the fella out. Kind of winked at the guy and he said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do. He said, ma'am, I'll let y'all ride this thing. And he said, I won't charge you anything on one condition. He said, now, if you break this condition, you're going to have to pay me the $50 for the ride. He said, but if you'll get in this helicopter and you won't say nothing the whole time, I'll let you ride for free. She said, that sounds like a deal to me. And so they got up in the helicopter, and that guy thought, man, I'm going to really get her, because he said, I was just getting her up here so he could ride, but she's going to pay for this ride. And man, he was looping, and he was doing all kind of stuff and doing everything but turning that helicopter upside down. And he dived down like this, and she never opened her mouth. And they got down, and true to his word, he said, man, he said, ma'am, all right. He said, well, the ride was free. He said, but I don't see how you didn't say nothing. She said, well, I tell you what, on that second loop-de-loop, when my husband fell out, I almost did, but $50 is $50. Sometimes saying stuff will cost you. And we got to keep our mouths closed. Isn't that right? So we said, what are these things that are in these in-between times that will cause us trouble? The first one we said was years. Time will cause us difficulties. And there are lots of things that could be filling that time, but in that time, the enemy will use that to get us to believe somehow that God's word isn't true. We said that time may be slipping by, but if we recognize it for what it is, we can overcome the obstacle of time. We said to you that God may be preparing us during that time, but that be sure about this. I emphasize this point, but it bears repeating. You're not waiting on God to give you anything that Jesus paid for you already. He's not holding those things back. So you're not waiting on healing. It already belongs to you. Isn't that right? But there are some things that we have to wait. And sometimes God will be preparing us. Why? Because we're not ready. When I heard that, you know, when the Lord spoke to my heart that I'd be back here one day, I thought it was going to be next week. I was a student at Rhema. Well, that was 20 years ago. But I wasn't in the position, and it wasn't the time. So sometimes God is preparing us. Sometimes people slow the process down, and I said that to you. And I said, never, ever, ever should you ever, ever, ever slow down the process for other people. When the Lord speaks to your heart to do something for a fellow believer, we ought to be quick to respond to the word of the Lord. Amen. You ever had to wait and then somebody comes along later and they said, well, the Lord told me this a couple of months ago, and you think, brother, I just about went under waiting on you. Be quick. Why? Because God, one way or another, he's going to take care of his kids. And you don't want him stepping over you to get somebody else who would be obedient. I've got a friend who went somewhere in ministry one time. The Lord told him to go and start a church in a particular area. And he was praying about it one time. And he said, Lord, why me? Why are you sending me here? Why are you telling me to go here? And he said, I asked others and they wouldn't. Somebody say, no, thank you. I'm not interested in that, right? So we ought to be quick. Sometimes you're waiting on other people to get in line and do the things that God's saying for them to do, but you believe God anyway. Amen? Then the last one we said, this is the devil may be slowing the process down. He's always looking for an open door into your life, and if he finds one where he can slow things down, he'll sure do it. But we have to know and discern the seasons and the times we're in and act accordingly. But we can't change what we're saying or get misaligned with God's word because some time elapses. Amen? If God said it in his word, we believe it and that settles it, right? Well, I'll say amen if you won't. Time won't dictate to you and I the truth of God's word. Amen. The second thing we said was this that will hinder us. We said tears. Sometimes disappointments we face along the way can shake our faith, and when things don't always turn out like we planned, we can sometimes let our faith slip. Disappointments are meant to get us to turn loose of what we're believing for. We can readily admit that there are times where we've had disappointments. We thought we were, you know, we were believing God for something. We thought it was going to be a certain way. Maybe you thought, this is the job for me. And God, I'm believing for this particular job. And I'm going to get this job. And then give it to somebody else. But you don't know the things that you missed out on that could have gotten you off track by taking that job. And God saw things ahead of you, and just because you didn't get that thing, just because you were disappointed in some way, how many of you know this? We don't know everything. Isn't that right? That's not heavy revelation, but that's true. Sometimes, despite our best efforts, we might face a situation where it doesn't turn out like we planned, but we can't allow ourselves to get out of faith because we didn't receive something. How are we supposed to handle disappointments and setbacks? We read to you, Habakkuk says this, Habakkuk 3, 17 and 18, even though the fig tree has no blossoms, there are no grapes on the vines, even though the olive crops fail and the fields lie empty and barren, even though the flocks die in the fields and the cattle barns are empty, yet I will rejoice in the Lord. I will be joyful in the God of my salvation. Glory to God. We don't have to understand everything or how everything works or have all the answers in order to believe God. I don't know exactly how my air conditioner works, but when I go home, I'm cutting it on. Amen. I'm going to get the benefit of it. I don't know everything that's going on under the hood of my car. I know some things, but I don't know everything. But you know what? I didn't walk to church tonight. I'm not going to let what I don't know dictate what I do know. And what I do know is God is faithful. If something doesn't go as planned, we got to choose to believe God anyway, because there are some things that we do know. We know this. We know God is good. Amen. We know the thief will come. We know Jesus came to give us abundance. So if I'm disappointed, then I've got some things to consider. Did God stop being good? Did Jesus mean what he said in John 10:10? Could I have missed it? Could the thief have found entrance into my life? And do I know everything? And here's some advice that'll help us all always stay on God's side. Amen. So here's the third one that we said we were going to talk about, and that's fears. We can't allow fear to creep in and get us worried that somehow God isn't able to help us or bring his word to pass. God never, ever, ever, never, ever, 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 never, ever, if you're looking for an emphasis point, right there was one, ever, ever wants you and I to be afraid. Too many scriptures that say otherwise. God does not want you and I to get into fear, because fear will be a lousy motivator in your life, but it will be a motivator. I heard a guy one time, I was back home, and I was listening to the radio. It was a Christian radio station. And he was talking about how some guys, it was like a men who win kind of broadcast. You know, one of those things for Christian men to encourage and stuff. And he said, most men are too macho to ever allow their kids to be afraid. And I thought a couple of things immediately. The first one was this. I thought, you don't have to be right to be on the radio. And the second thing I thought was, some people will allow their circumstance to carry more weight than God's word. God does not want you and I to be in fear. The enemy will use fear the same way God will use faith to motivate us. Your faith will move you, and the enemy will use fear to move you in the opposite direction. There's a few reasons why God doesn't want us to fear that I want to talk to you about tonight, and why you shouldn't fear. The first one is this one. Fear will cloud our vision. The enemy uses fear to try to make us lose sight of God's presence, causing us to focus on our circumstances rather than on his promises. Isaiah 41:10 in the New Living reminds us that God is always with us. Verse 10 says, Isaiah 41:10 says, do not be afraid, for I am with you. Do not be discouraged, for I am your God. I'll strengthen you and help you. I'll hold you up with my victorious right hand. You and I are supposed to keep our eyes on God in the middle of our circumstances. But sometimes we get to the foot of our mountain and we're looking at our mountain and it seems so big that our focus changes from looking to Jesus. Isn't that what the scripture tells us in Hebrews? It says that we're to look unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. You and I are supposed to be looking unto Jesus. We're supposed to be recognizing that God is with us, that God cares for us, that God upholds us, that God is our provider, that God is our healer, that God is our deliverer, that God is our peace, that God is our victory, that God is everything that we need, and He provided for us in Jesus everything that we would ever need. But the enemy tries to get us looking at our mountains, and all of a sudden we take our focus off of our Lord. I remember back home, now I lived on the western end of Kentucky, but on the eastern end of Kentucky, it's all mountains. And I remember one time I was driving through the mountains. I was doing some work. I worked for the Commonwealth of Kentucky at the time. And I was driving through the mountains. And when you'd go past, there was literally, nobody had a backyard in some of those places. They were right next to the road where they'd cut the road through the mountain. And there would be a house on the side of the road. And there was no backyard. It was just a straight cliff. And I remember driving with some friends. We were doing some work for the Commonwealth. And I saw a car in the backyard of this place. And it had a boulder right in the center of it. And I was thinking about that as I was preparing. And really, a lot of times, that's what the enemy wants you to do, is stand there at the foot of your mountain as he's rolling boulders down, just waiting to catch you up and drop something in the middle of your life to keep you from going any further. The reason we're supposed to speak to those mountains is because we got no business standing down there where the rocks can fall. Now, I don't know who parked their car underneath that thing, but it wasn't wise. When we let fear take a hold of us, it causes us to doubt God's ability to protect and provide for us, and it undermines our faith. I don't talk fast enough. The enemy wants us to reason out why things cannot happen like God says they can. And fear will paralyze action. Instead of stepping out in faith, fear keeps us stuck in bondage to our current circumstance, hindering our ability to move forward in God's plan for our lives. He'll have us looking on our mountain saying, it's too big. For who? It's taken too long. For who? Who says that just because time elapses, that just because we've experienced disappointments, just because we don't feel like we've got everything, who says that God's word isn't true because circumstances haven't lined up with it yet? Ultimately, what the enemy wants us to do is be so afraid or so paralyzed by whatever the circumstance is that we're facing that we stop moving and we get crushed under the weight of the things that he tries to bring into our lives to bring us harm. And really, at the root of everything that he tries to bring into our lives, all the fear that he tries to bring, really the root of all the fear is fear of death. Isn't that what the scripture tells us? It says in Hebrews 2, verses 14 and 15, it says, inasmuch then as the children have been partakers of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death, that is the devil, and release those who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. In essence, our fear of death is what the enemy uses to keep us in bondage at the foot of our mountain. Well, I don't know what's on the other side of that thing. I don't know if this is something that I can get through. And I don't know about you, but I'm a person who's experienced waiting room anxiety before. And I didn't like it much. When you got a doctor leaning into you and he puts his hand on your leg and he says, we feel like what you got going on is neurological. I don't know everything, but I knew what that meant. And I can remember going home, and I can remember going into my bedroom, and I can remember covering my head, and I can remember crying, And I can remember thinking I was dying. And I was a 28-year-old man at the time, and the devil was telling me that he'd kill me by the time I was 30, and I was this close to believing it. He almost had me convinced, and it was through that fear of death that I didn't want to do anything anymore. I was afraid to do anything. I didn't want to go anywhere. Anxiety, you could feel it like a coat. I remember being at work one day, and I was sitting at the computer, and I was typing away, and all of a sudden fear came on me, and it felt like somebody threw an overcoat on me. And I jumped out of my chair, because it literally felt like it fell on me. I jumped out of my chair and I said, I'm going on break. And I went outside because somehow in my mind, I thought, I can get away from this. I can move away from it. But the enemy had me thinking that I was going to die. And it's through this fear of death that he paralyzes us. What if really, when people say things like, you ever heard somebody say, well, I'm just afraid of planes. What's to be afraid of? Really, you're not afraid of planes. What we're afraid of is the one we're on is going to crash and we'll die. Right? People say, I'm afraid of water. Well, most of us take a shower. What you're afraid of is that there'll be more water than you can handle and you'll go under and you'll die. You're not afraid of car rides. You're afraid that the one you're in will get in a fiery auto crash and you'll die. You don't have anxiety about going to the doctor. You're afraid you're going to go in there and they're going to find something that you don't like the sound of it and you're going to die. And through this fear of death, the enemy, the scripture says that he keeps us all our lives subject to bondage. And we're standing at the foot of the mountain and we're thinking, I don't know that I can get past this one. But what did God say? Jesus said we can speak to that mountain. But the devil gets us looking at something else instead of God and his word, and he gets us looking at the circumstance, and all of a sudden you feel your hands start getting sweaty, the back of your neck, you can feel sweat dripping down it, the anxiety starts pumping your heart, and you think you're not going to make it, and the devil sides in with you and he says, yeah, that's right, you're never going to make it past this one, you're not going to be able to get through this, this is the mountain that's going to take you under, this is the place where you're going to die. I can remember vividly in my mind, laying in my bed, thinking about me dying, seeing myself with my hands across my chest, thinking that I was going to leave a young wife and my kids, and I was never going to fulfill any ministry. The devil had me convinced that I was going to die. And by the time I was brave enough to go back to the doctor, and they did some tests, and they couldn't find anything, they did some more, and they couldn't find anything. I was fasting, I was laying in the floor, Sarah was cooking in the other room, and I could smell it coming underneath the door, and I wasn't fasting because I was trying to get myself prepared for anything. I was trying to show God that I really mean business. I was trying to get him to move. Well, he moved a long time ago. He sent his son. And surely he has borne our griefs and carried our sorrows and pains. We did esteem him stricken, smitten of God, and afflicted. But he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was upon him. And with his stripes, we are healed. And the devil's a liar. And he tells us that we're not going to make it. But God's word is true. And we can have the victory. The devil's just fighting for the right to have your mouth. The way you'll know that fear has got a grip is when it gets your lip. The things that are coming out of your mouth, what do they sound like? Do they sound like victory? Do they sound like God's words? Do they sound like what he says about you? Or do they sound like what the devil says? Well, I guess I'm not going to make it this time. I guess this is the one that's too hard. Well, you know, I know God can do all things, but this is different. Mine's a hard case. None of those things are scripture. It's what the enemy brings to get us afraid that if we move with God, you know, there are people that God is calling to be missionaries. There are people that God is calling to sow into ministry, into the kingdom. There are people that God is calling to do things all the time. And the devil tells them, oh, you don't want to go on the mission field. You're going to die out there. Oh, you don't want to give that money. You're going to go broke and you're going to starve to death and you won't have anything. And he tries to get us staring at the mountain, thinking the mountain's too big to move. But who said that there is a mountain that is so great that God can't, by faith, when we believe him, we move the mountain? Who said that that's not possible? If God told us that we could speak to mountains, then who is the devil to tell me that I can't? He tried to get God's throne, and we saw what happened. And so now what he does is he tries to enthrone himself on our lives. And the only way that he can do it is if we line our words up with what he says and seat him on a throne in our lives. But he's got no place there. He's got no business in our lives. And he makes himself to be all big and bad, tries to convince us that he's going to take us out. But you ever ask yourself, if the devil was going to take you out, why has he left you here so long? Why hadn't he already done it? Oh, he's out. You're going to die. I'm going to get you. You keeping me around a while because you like me? No, I believe maybe it's because you can't. Maybe it's because you can't. You can't do anything in my life that I won't allow. Why? Because I've been given authority. Glory to God. Jesus, the head of the church, said that I got authority. Glory to God. Over all the power of the enemy. And if I got that authority and you're in Christ, you got that authority too. And we don't have to be afraid of any mountain. I mean, one of my favorite songs we sing is that, who are you, great mountain? And that's a good question to ask. Who are you, great mountain? You think you're so big and bad? Financial problem? Who are you? Get out of my way. Who are you, sickness? Oh, you're going to take me out? Why didn't you do it last week? Get out of my face. Move. He said, if we'll speak to our mountains, and there is no amount of time, there is no amount of disappointment, there is no amount of fear that the enemy will pile on, that you and I ought to let us keep from saying what God says about us. We need to speak the things that God says. If we'll stay focused on our Jesus, I'll leave you with this scripture. Scripture says this, you know the scripture in Psalm 34. It says, oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. My soul shall make its boast in the Lord. The humble shall hear it and be glad. Oh, magnify the Lord with me and let us exalt his name together. I sought the Lord and he heard me and delivered me from a couple of my fears. How many? How many? He delivered me from all my fears. I sought the Lord. I kept my eyes on Jesus. I was looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of our faith. Oh, glory to God. And when we keep our eyes on him, there is no mountain too great, no hill, no river too wide, nothing too deep that we can't go through it. We need to be speaking to our mountains. We need to be staying with his word. And if we do, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. Amen. Would you stand to your feet with me? Glory to God. Glory to God. Hallelujah. 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 Thank you, Lord. Just pray in the Spirit for just a minute. Yengro mundo ndoro basundara mashakatara bakata. Tonight, as we close this service, I'm going to ask you, there are some people here that you're dealing with fear and anxiety over some things that you've been dealing with. And what I keep getting in my spirit is there's some people that are dealing with some health diagnosis in particular. And oh, the hours that you've spent pondering and the enemy telling you that you're not going to make it. Tonight when we leave here, our altar care workers are going to come down. You guys can go ahead and come down right now. I'm going to ask you that when everybody else leaves, that you don't leave here with the weight of that on your back. You let these altar care workers stand with you in faith and agree with you in faith. And you make a decision that if you haven't already done it, when I was dealing with the sickness that I had, the things that were going on in my body, I went to a meeting and I got prayed for, and nothing changed in the natural. Nothing was different. But the person who had prayed for me had enough spiritual intellect to say this: now, if nothing has changed in the natural for you right now, make this the day that you received. And so I did. I wrote down on a piece of paper that on March the 8th, 2003, is the day that I received my healing. And nothing changed. But I didn't die when I was 30. I turned 30 attending Rhema. In 2004, I went to school and I still had all the symptoms. And every time the symptoms would come, I would pull out that little piece of paper out of my wallet and I would say, thank you, Lord, that on March the 8th, 2003, when I was prayed for, that's the day that I received my healing. And I kept meditating on the word. So 2004, nothing changed in the natural. 2005, I'm sitting here, I'm working at the ministry. And I looked across the table at the people that I was working with, and I realized in 2005 that every symptom left my body. And you know something? This is how the devil is. This is how tricky he is. There have been times since then, over the years, that's been a few years ago, and a few pounds, really. Over the years, there have been times where the enemy has tried to bring that back. And I would stand against it. No, we already took care of this problem. And I stood against it. And you know, they left almost as quickly as they came. To the point where I've gone for years now without ever having those symptoms. There have been times where I've shared this testimony and I've got done preaching. And then within a few days, those symptoms would try to come back on my body. 20 years later, you think I'm that kind of dipstick devil? No, I don't think so. But if you're here tonight and you're dealing with a situation just like that, these men and women have been selected and they're anointed to pray for you. They're helping the pastoral staff at this church and this congregation to receive from God. And they can agree with you in prayer and they can help you to find a scripture that you can stand on. Don't leave here. Don't walk out because we didn't have a prayer line and walk out and say, I guess this wasn't my day to receive. Come down here and let them pray with you and leave here walking boldly, looking unto Jesus, the author and the finisher of your faith. I believe your life is on. I believe your life is heading in a new direction. Glory to God. Your mountain's moving and it's beginning today. Amen. Amen. Father God, those people that are in here now, when we dismiss this service tonight, I thank you, Father God, that they'll have the boldness to step out of their seat. They'll come down. The ladies will come to the ladies. The men will come to the men. They'll let them pray together. They'll stand in agreement, Lord, and they'll walk away from here free from all fear and anxiety about this sickness or disease that the enemy's trying to bring into their life. And we declare, Father God, that they are already the healed of the Lord, and they will walk those things out in their life. They will receive everything that you've promised them and paid for. Through Jesus' stripes, we give you praise and glory for it. It's in Jesus' name. You believe that, say amen. Thank you so much for being attentive. Pastors, anything? All right, God bless you guys. Be here on Wednesday night for Hour of the Power. We love you. We'll see you soon. Keep our pastors in your prayer this week. God bless you. Bye-bye.